Hello, this is Adam Virgo, and you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Anthony Kendrick, and joining me for an interview tonight, we've got West Ham ladies midfielder Tara Scott.
Hi there, Anthony, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
Welcome to the show. The first thing I just want to say is I want to congratulate you on winning our interview of the year. You beat off competition from Mark Todd and won, so congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you very much, and thanks to everyone for voting as well. It was good fun, and Mark played a great sport. But yeah, it was good to come out on top on that one.
Well, it was a really well-received interview, and it's glad to get you back on the show.
Yeah, glad to be back. Really enjoyed the last interview. It was good.
I've got competition to go against Chris in the interviewing stakes. Just want to firstly ask how you're getting on at West Ham. Is everything well with you?
Yeah, West Ham. It's been a great season for me with West Ham. Obviously, it's my first season back since joining RAF and stuff, where I wasn't actually able to train or play. So for me, successful first season, getting my feet back on the ground, getting in there, getting game time, and getting myself back to fully fit. For West Ham, the season went well. Started off great, had a bit of a rocky middle, and then pulled it back again towards the end of the season, starting to get results in again. So yeah, for West Ham, it's a good season for me, and also a great season.
So looking forward, what do you think the targets are to go on from here?
For West Ham, we finished comfortably 10th place, I think, at the end of the season.
Yeah.
I think that obviously we want to push that up to at least the middle of the table, 4th, 5th place. We need to be up that end to obviously start competing football-wise. So that, for us, for next season, will be a massive aim, and we'll work hard towards that. I think Mark's obviously got his own ideas of how to achieve that, and there's going to be a lot of changes at West Ham for the better, most probably.
When he took over, and I know he targeted the top 5 as the as where he wants to get the club up to.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously it takes a season or so to obviously get the gist of the team and the team gelling properly and pulling the names in to come and play for us. So, I mean, it takes a season. So this season he'll be looking to put that into place and making it happen. And let's hope that it does, because West Ham are a great set-up, great team. They have the full support and the men's team backing us usually, and we have great facilities, so it's definitely achievable.
That's something I wanted to ask about, you know, the relationship between the women's and the men's team. Is that something that's, I presume it must be important in any club to run properly?
Yeah, but it's definitely forming a bit more stronger now than what it was at the beginning. But they have started to take them, obviously, on board us, letting us play at Upton Park for the first time before it obviously closed, which was a very successful game for us, bringing in a crowd of 1,300, I think it was. For us, I mean, having the backing of the men is obviously massive, and having the support from them, it helps us a lot. Hopefully we maybe even get a game at the new stadium. If they would allow us, that'd be massively amazing, and we'd take that on. So we're just forever forming a bond with the men's team and making it stronger.
Just want to ask about the stadium as well. Because there was all the controversy because the final match at Upton Park being a charity match with the West Ham West Ham ladies team. Sorry, I should say. I know there was it was put to the fans, and it was like 52% saying that it should go ahead and 48% against it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously all the girls were massively disappointed in the decision going ahead. However, that's the way it went, and they get the final say, and obviously they felt that would be for the better, to obviously keep the peace between fans or whatever, and that's entirely their decision. It doesn't go to say that obviously we were massively disappointed, to be honest, because our first game was so successful at Upton Park, and it brought in quite a large crowd for us, which was amazing. So yeah, disappointed, but we move on from that, and then hopefully in the next season they will allow us to play at the new stadium, or we'll form some sort of other arrangement with them. So we look forward to that, and unfortunately that was the way the decision went, and we take that on the chin and we move on.
It must have been it must be a massive deal in general for you to play at a more historic stadium such as Upton Park, or maybe, you know, the new stadium next season. It must make, you know, a massive difference mentally to play in, you know, a smaller ground.
Oh yeah, definitely. Obviously, being in front of so many fans and in a massive stadium, it makes you want to be better, develop as a player, develop as a team. Makes you want to go out there and win for everyone that's there. I mean, it has a massive effect mentally, and your determination and your drive just goes through the roof. Your adrenaline's pumping, so everything just seems to be 10 times better.
Do you find it's harder to possibly keep your concentration though, and, you know, focus?
Not particularly. I guess it depends on an individual player really and how they deal with pressure, but most of the girls at West Ham deal with that pretty well, and obviously when they played at Upton Park against Tottenham, they come away with a 1-0 win. So I mean, I think it can go either way, but as I say, it depends on the player themselves and how they deal with it and how they deal with the pressure.
I just want to move on. I know it's the Champions League final tonight. It's Wolfsburg v Lyon. Is that something you're following?
Yes, I'm a secret Frenchie fan. I love Lyon, PSG. So I'm hoping that Lyon win it this year, because it's a repeat of the final in 2013, which I actually went and seen at Stamford Bridge. So I'm rooting for Lyonnais, and hopefully they bring it home this time, because they're a great team. They win the league, I think it's the last 3 or 4 years in a row. Great players I look up to, and obviously use as role models. So for me, I'm hoping that Lyon win.
Difficult game for them though, with Wolfsburg. I know they knocked out the English representative Chelsea earlier in the campaign. And then they've got Nadine Kessler, who's the World Player of the Year. She's retiring for this game.
Yeah, I mean, Wolfsburg are always a strong opposition. I mean, they're the best in Germany, and they're massive. Got some great players for them. And like you said, they did knock out Chelsea. However, I thought Chelsea gave them quite a good game, to be honest. And fair play to Chelsea, they did try and rise to their standard. However, I think the Lyonnais are slightly better quality than Chelsea, just because of the players that they have in the team, and also the experience that they bring with that. So hopefully they can bite the bullet this time, shall we say, and take it from Wolfsburg.
How do you think women's football is well supported in Europe? Because obviously we hear about in the US all the time about how the women's game's growing there, but in say the France and the Germany, and do you think the women's game's popular there?
Yeah, probably a lot more popular than what it is in England. Obviously, they do tend to get paid a little bit more in Italy, France, Sweden, Germany, so I would say it's probably definitely taken off more and accepted more as a natural sport than what it is in England.
Do you think we can see more clubs becoming professional in England? Because at the moment you've got like the domination with the top few, but then there's not many professional clubs below that.
Yeah, I think it's going to take a little while, obviously, for it to progress that far for more teams that are slightly more underdog to come up to the professional level and get that professional backing and the funding behind them. However, I have no doubt about it that within the next 10 years that we will have a lot more professional teams in England, without a doubt. It is rising. The FA Cup that's just been played at Wembley, 33,000 strong crowd, amazing day. I went myself, I seen it. It was great football, great standard. Obviously, it was your two top dogs, Arsenal and Chelsea. However, still a great game. And it just makes, obviously, the smaller teams look up to these two teams and think, like, well, that's where we have to be, that's where we have to get to, and that's the standards that we need to get to. So it just gives us all that little bit of a push in the right direction and that little drive to get us to where they are. Funding-wise, I think, obviously, we need to get some massive funding in to the English football women's side. Obviously, the top paid players in England are hitting maybe about 65k a year, which is nothing really compared to obviously the men's football, who make that in a week. So we definitely need more funding for women players in England.
With the Premier League as well, City are top of the league at the moment. You said about the other two top dogs. How what do you think of the battle going on there, with City obviously having 100% record so far?
Yeah, I think City have made quite a few good signings over the summer. Aslani being one of them, great striker, great experience. I think she'll obviously be a good asset, and I'd say. And obviously, Arsenal having Alex Scott, who is without a doubt one of the best players in England, massive reputation, massive experience. Obviously, Chelsea have got Katie Chapman, who for me stood out at the FA Cup. She just didn't stop the whole game, even to the very final whistle. She was vowing everybody to just give that extra 10%, just to try and scrape that goal back. And her determination was, without a doubt, incredible on that day, to be honest. And she really stood out for me. So each of the teams have obviously got their little star players, and I think the battle for the top this season is going to be massively tight. I think it's going to be maybe a point, 2 points in it towards the end of the season, and I think it'll be some big, big, big games to come and watch.
Yeah, well, I guess the one big game so far, there was City against Chelsea, which City won and kept their 100% record.
Yeah, they seem to be on top form, and I'm sure they'll be looking to keep that going. Obviously, Captain Steph Houghton is a pretty good player as well, and probably up there with some of the best. So, yeah, I don't see how City could possibly lose some of the big games with the players that they have. They're just top of their game at the minute.
I saw on Twitter as well, you congratulated Kim Little on becoming the BBC Player of the Year, Women's Player of the Year. You said it was well deserved. Do you think she maybe deserved the PFA Player of the Year as well?
Kim Little for me is, without a doubt, one of the best players in the world. That kid, just, she's amazing. I have had the pleasure of playing against Kim. Well, I say pleasure, but it was definitely not a pleasure playing against her. She was a nightmare when she was playing for Mintlaw and stuff like that, and Hibs, etc. But she is, for me, the ultimate football player in the female game. She is amazing. I think she's very underrated. I think she's overlooked sometimes. Obviously, she doesn't get the opportunities to shine as much with the Scotland squad, unfortunately. However, the Scotland squad is coming through now, starting to obviously qualify for the Euros, etc. So that's a massive step for Scottish football. And Kim can then obviously take that team and shine and get to bigger, like, World Cups, Euros, etc. So bigger competitions where I think Kim will make a massive, massive difference. She's played in the Australian League. She's played for 3 seasons in the United States League. And she is, without a doubt, my player, best player in the world. And definitely a role model for me, obviously being Scottish as well. But for probably quite a few other younger girls out there.
Okay. Just finally, the England women's squad as well was announced today for the games coming up against Serbia. You looking forward to those games?
Yeah, of course. I think England have got a great team at the minute, and they are on top form, and I think that they'll do really well in the Euros, etc. So I think they're definitely a team to look out for, and hopefully they can do something with it this year and win a competition, because the talent that they have is massive, some of the best players in football. So yeah, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that they do something this year and come back with a trophy or some silverware.
I think they've got a decent team, but do you think it'd be fair of me to say that their team is like not quite as good as, say, the US or the German team? Or am I being harsh?
I think the English team just maybe lack that little bit experience that the US and the German and the French teams have. However, I think they can hold their own, and I think that with some work and some determination, I think the results can go their way, to be honest. I think they can still obviously fight alongside them, give them a good game, pressurise them, score against them. And if they do that, then there's no reason why they can't win. Obviously, the US won the World Cup, obviously won the other big tournaments. However, that's just the difference between Europe's football and the US football. US is massively funded. They get endorsements, they get sponsorship, they get management. They get so much time to train, whereas in England, most of the English women's footballers, they have to have second jobs, so therefore they're not training as much, they're not getting as much game time as the US, which is where the difference in quality and standard comes in. So as soon as we get that funding up, we can actually go full-time professional, and they can train as many days as they like without having to take on a second job. You'll see England's team definitely coming through, and competing up there with the best of them, possibly even winning a World Cup.
All right. Thanks for your time. Appreciate you coming on. Is there anything else you'd like to mention?
No, just thanks everyone for the support over the last season. West Ham, who have stood by me. Obviously, with my job being an IF police, I can't always make training. So, massive thanks to West Ham and being obviously understanding and allowing me to play for them. It's been a great season for me. Obviously, family, friends, mum supporting me from Scotland and play for such good football and allowing me a way to train. So yeah, just thanks to everyone for their support. And hopefully, next season, you'll continue that support and we'll take it to a better season.
Well, thanks for joining me tonight. You can be followed on Twitter at TaraScott3.
Yep.
And you can also check out, you can check us out, we're at V2 Football. Thanks for joining me tonight. Goodbye from me and goodbye from my guest tonight, Tara Scott.
Thank you. Goodbye.